He's Lord over the curse, and he's high priest over the blessing and over the prosperity blessing of his people. See the difference between the two? He is Lord and Christ. He is Lord and high priest administrator of the blessing.
I know my God has made the way for me. I know my God has made the way for me.
It is Jesus' responsibility to see to it that the blessing manifests in the life of a Christian. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as he shares how Jesus is the high administrator of the blessing.
Let's open first in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into God's rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Would you please underline the word works? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, or enter into his rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The administration of the blessing is now in the hands of Jesus. He is the high administrator. The word here translated in the book of Hebrews, the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the same word means administer. It means administration. We get our word minister from it. Some people have translated that and used the word priest. Others use the word minister, such as ourselves. We use the word minister. It's exactly the same word and comes exactly from the same source. Jesus is the high administrator of both heaven and earth. He is in charge of the blessing, charged of Almighty God after the orders of Melchizedek. So now, let's take a look, first of all, in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. God, who at sundry time and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he, God, made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. He sat down. Why? Because he was tired? No, he was finished. Amen. He entered into his Father's rest. Notice how he did it. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. What day was that? This is the day he raised him from the dead. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, now here it is, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, hath anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And thou, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Now, this is when he is raising Jesus from the dead. Now, hold your place there and turn back to the book of Philippians for a moment. Chapter 2. Now, this is referring to what we just read. Now, at the time God spoke that, Jesus had been made sin for us, who knew no sin. He knew no sin. But he was made sin with our sin and suffered in the depths of hell. Paid the price for Adam's fall. Went to hell so you and I don't have to go. My Lord God. He's the only human being in existence that took all of hell's punishment because he had all sin on him. No human being has ever sinned all the sin there is. But he took it all. Men that suffer in hell, I mean, hell's hell any way you go at it. And no human being has any mental concept about what hell is, or they'd never mention the word of hell out their mouth. No human, there would be such a trembling and such a fear to even say the word. God Almighty created hell. He didn't create it for human beings. He created for Satan and his angels. And it is as bad as God himself could make it. Men don't belong there. Wasn't created for them. But they make a choice. You wind up there. Well, I won't go any further into that. When he called him this, the power of those words. And the power, see, he's releasing the same power that he released in the Garden of Eden with the same glory and the same explosion of himself into the dark regions of hell. And these very words caused Jesus to be reborn, the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. The scripture said he was made righteous in, he was manifested in the flesh and made alive in the spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I mean, that's shouting ground. But now we're going to see right here what we just read over there in the book of Hebrews. Now notice this. God also highly exalted him and given him, the King James says, a name. It was not a name. It was his name. He called him that. And you, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, he gave him his
personal name.
Which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, is Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh to the glory of God His Father. Woo! Hallelujah! My God in heaven. If you can't get excited over that, don't squall and bawl over some other old unbelieving something. Come on. Man, this is shouting ground. Hallelujah. This is the gospel at its finest. Amen. Oh, every tongue. Confess, I'll tell you whether the devil likes it or not. Any believer that begins to develop faith in that name, this name of combinations of the very name of the Almighty Himself, coupled with the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to know, you speak that name in faith, you stir the blessing of God up on the inside of you, and you begin to say, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. How dare you, Mr. Devil? You can't curse what's been blessed. And you get your hands out of me and get out of my house. By the eternal almighty God, you get. And whether he likes it or not, his own knees begin to bend. God. His Lord. And he has to do it at your feet. I believe this gospel. My God, yes. Amen. I can't figure out which one of these to use. I'll just use them both. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew 28. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Oh, there is so much that I want to share with you. So many things. 28th chapter of Matthew. Now this is just a short time after what we just read. Verse 16. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. At first Adam didn't have that. He had authority in the earth. This one has authority in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Authority both in heaven and in earth. Now, look in the book of Acts in the second chapter. Acts chapter 2. Come down to the 31st verse. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. What promise? The promise to Abraham. Oh, God pushed it to the outer limits. Hallelujah. Look at that. The promise of the Holy Ghost, praise God, by the right hand of God, having received the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit you on my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, we're in position now to see where the word Christ comes from and why it is used so many, 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 many times in the New Testament. Now, I'll give you this preview. We know, of course, that the Greek word Christ is translation of the Hebrew word Messiah, which means anointed one. The word Christ, not being translated into English, well, at times it was, but people didn't understand it even when they saw it. They didn't know it was the same word. Fourth chapter of the book of Luke is an illustration there, the 18th verse. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. Well, in Greek it says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has christened me. That's Christ, christen. It's all the same word. To christen means to pour on. That's the reason it's used in baptism. It means to pour over, to sprinkle, to rub into, anoint. You can be anointed with butter. But to be anointed of the Spirit of God is another thing. Amen? Sure. Now, both Lord and anointed one. Every time you see the word Christ, the anointed, in the New Testament, it's referring to his high priestly administration of both heaven and earth as high priest after the orders of Melchizedek. Administrator of the blessing. That's to whom it is referring every time you see it anywhere in the New Testament. Lord and Christ. Well, Brother Copeland, I thought they were one and the same. Well, I don't care what you thought. We're going to change your thinking right now. Lord and Christ. There is a very definite line between the two. For instance, Jesus is Lord over sickness and disease. Right? He defeated it. He is Lord over it. He's high priest of healing. He is the administrator of healing. He defeated sickness and disease. He is Lord over poverty. He's Lord over the curse. And he's high priest over the blessing
and over the prosperity blessing of his people. See the difference between the two? He is Lord and Christ. He is Lord and High Priest Administrator of the blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I want you to spend some time meditating on that. Don't just throw the word Lord around anymore. You're learning things now that have to do with administration of power in your life and in your surroundings. You can't be sloppy about it anymore.
Well, I mean, that's good enough for gospel.
I had a guitar player said that one time in a recording session of mine. I said, fellas, we can do better than that. We need to do another take here. That's not quite up to it. He said, oh, that's good enough for gospel. Oh. He don't know how close he come to wearing that guitar home. Man, I tell you, and like the Lord said back in them days, boy, you're just too high-tempered. I thank God I was able to reel it in. But man, oh man, ain't nothing good enough for gospel. I don't care how good a building you got, it isn't good enough for gospel. I don't care how much gold it's got on it, it ain't good enough for gospel. I don't care how big it is, it ain't good enough for gospel. I don't care how rich it is, it ain't good enough for the gospel. There ain't nothing on this earth good enough for the gospel. It's time Christians quit doing things in a silly, cheap, lazy, ungodly kind of a way. We represent the Most High God. Hallelujah. Let Him forever be praised. Amen. We're supposed to be shouting that. Abba, Father.
We're supposed to be shouting that, not saying, oh yes, hallelujah. What do Abba mean?
That means I have a father. I have a daddy. And he's rich. He's rich. He's rich. He's the greatest thing in the whole universe. He's big. He's big. He's mine. And he's God.
Peace, prosperity, health, joy, salvation.
We're talking about the Bible definition of the godly rich.
Now, from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the all-new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich. Available on compact disc and DVD, this series teaches you how to open the door to the inheritance of every believer.
Everything in this book, from Genesis chapter 2, is part of the blessing.
In this series, Kenneth explains the nature of the blessing.
You're not blessed because you're healed, but you are healed because of the blessing. You're not blessed because of wealth and riches in your house. You have wealth and riches in your house because you're blessed.
Meditate with this all-new teaching from Kenneth Copeland and begin today to enjoy all that is already yours as a believer. To order Kenneth Copeland's brand new teaching series, The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich, log on to kcm.org and order online. Or call us toll free at 800-575-4455. The cost for these enlightening and timely messages is just $18 and is available on DVD or CD. To order by mail, you may write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Order The Blessing of the Lord, It Maketh Rich today.
Now we know from Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Now then, in the 73rd Psalm, behold, or look, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in riches. Now the world, Jesus put it this way, he said, What do you act like the Gentiles for? That's what they do. They seek what to wear, what to eat, what to put on, their shelter, all of that. Well, that's the only way they have of getting it. That's where the phrase make a living comes from. I make money. I make deals. But this word says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. You're not blessed because you're rich. You're rich because you're blessed. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're already rich. You just hadn't received it yet. And it's just a matter of time for you to get in the Word of God, and the blessing of Abraham belongs to you. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is dynamite stuff. Now, I said all that to tell you this. Get the DVDs and the CDs of these five messages on this subject, because you need to raise your children already knowing that system so they can function in it, operate in it, believe God in it, where the blessing is making, it is making their way, it is prospering them, and they don't have to learn it after they get 35 or 40 years old and get in a church that don't know it either. Amen. So get it for your pastor, study it together on the DVDs, and then carry the CDs and listen to it. You're renewing your mind. But the big thing is get your children in it right now. Praise God. Father, we just praise you and we thank you. I pray for this radio and television audience all over the world. We are coming together in this and we're seeing and understanding more about it, and we are committed to bless in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Great Lakes Believers Convention, 2 weeks away, 18th through 23rd of August, the U.S. Cellular Arena there in Milwaukee. Praise God, glory, and I'm going to be there. Jerry Savelle's going to be there. Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, Bill Winston. I mean, we're going to have a time of being totally immersed in the Word of God. Go to kcm.org and get all the information there. And we bless you, and we'll see you next time. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Come to the Southwest Believers Convention August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention is August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Finally, join Kenneth and Gloria at the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign from the 13th to 15th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. To find out more, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Next Sunday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Labor to enter into that rest. What do you do when you enter into His rest? You cease from your toiling.